710 ESPN Sedano Show. Brian Kamenetsky and Ramona Shelburne filling in for one more day here, Ramona. And then it's Clinton. You have Friday off.
I guess I do. Friday. Yeah. Yeah. They let me take days. So I was like, oh, I think I usually can take one of those first four. Monday through Thursday.
And then you take Friday off like a baller.
Well, it is my birthday weekend. Not that I'm doing anything, but I'll just like pretend like I'm doing it for that reason.
I mean, it's still nice to have. 3-day weekend's better than having like a day in the middle of the week that's open.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have a 3-day weekend.
Yeah, 3-day weekend. I agree. I mean, I'm not actually going to be off. I have like lots of stories to do, but I'll just, you know, pretend like I did that for that
reason. Like, yeah, right. It's like the radio. We all know the radio is not the only thing that you do.
Yeah.
First things first. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Sedano Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got some good ones today. Jeff Passan's going to come on at 10:40, and Dave McManaman's going to catch us up on what's going on with the Morrisesses, who have not yet entered the bubble. There's a great deal of mystery. Like, people are going through photos and they're looking at video clips, and we're starting to notice who has not been seen yet on different teams. And neither Markieff Morris with the Lakers or Marcus Morris with the Clippers have been seen in any form inside the bubble. Doc Rivers claims to have no idea where any of these guys are and doesn't even ask. I don't believe him. So we'll get an update from Dave on what is going on there. Frank Vogel spoke to the media today and got that going, and kind of interesting stuff. Like, you know, he's settling in. The Lakers are kind of settling in. Talk to LeBron. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's feeling kind of normal now in the bubble. Says guys are used to seeing everybody around campus. And this, when we talk about like the NBA bubble, Ramona.
Yeah.
How long before this is terrible? The food is awful. Morphs into it feels okay. Things aren't so bad, which seems to be about a week. How long before that goes into either we're starting to get stir crazy or the games? A couple guys made the point today, the games, when the games start, it could be kind of weird to see your opponent all over the place. Like, what do you feel like are going to be the stages of this bubble?
So, okay. I was just having a conversation this morning with somebody who's in the bubble. Okay. I don't want to give any more description of that. And there's also issues like, you know, there's certain hotels that have some amenities and other hotels that really don't. So like the really nice hotels where the top four teams in each conference are, so it's like the top eight teams total, that hotel has everything. But if you're at the like hotel with the bad teams, with the non-playoff teams, doesn't have as many amenities, right? So you're seeing all these pictures of the teams on the best teams, you know, with the guys in the best teams being able to go out and do all these fun activities, whereas you may not even have some place to run. You know, they don't have a couple of people I know brought their bikes. Well, what if there's no trails to ride the bike on? What are you going to do?
How far away are they? Like,
you're not allowed to interact. If you're at one hotel, you can't go to the other hotel
use their bike trail.
Right. You can't do that. Yeah. So it's like if you're at one of the hotels that has all the good stuff, and then you're photographed doing all that, you know, doing everything fun, and everyone in the, I don't want to call it the loser hotel, but it's the third tier hotel. Like, they're looking at one, I don't even have anywhere to ride my bike.
Right. By the way, Ramona, the people at Disney would also prefer you not refer to those as the loser hotels.
It's actually a very nice hotel. I think it's like the Yacht Club. It's very nice, but still, like, they don't have the same amenities at each hotel, and you're not allowed to mix with anybody else from a different hotel. You only get to talk to people on who are staying at your same hotel. And I get it, because the idea is like, they don't want, if there's like an outbreak, they don't want people going from, you know, one hotel to the other hotel and then spreading it.
Right.
So they'd rather have it contained, you know, to one hotel or wherever it would
be. This is very much like NBA's version of the train in Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
like the rich people are at the front of the train, and then you have the like the wizards at the back of the train trying yeah. to move up so they can use the bike trail.
They can use the bike trail. So, honestly, I think for most people, like the and oh, here's another not good thing that happens when you're like in the I don't want to call it the we're just going to call it tier three, okay? Because it's right. too mean to call it the loser
like
hotel.
You're describing yeah. it like they're staying at these like a terrible youth hostel.
Yeah, no, it's a really nice hotel, okay? But it's not the same as where the top four teams are staying. It's also a function of like practice times. So you notice like the Lakers are practicing every day at like a normal practice time. Like the other, the bottom four teams, the non-playoff teams, they have to practice like at night. So they're sitting around all day just like waiting for some gym time. Like, you know, their practices are like, you know, 7 p.m. You know, they just kind of wait around all day to go be able to use the gym because, you know, the better teams are getting the preferential practice slots. I mean, I guess it makes sense because if you have already given up your home court advantage, you should at least have some advantages once you're in Orlando, like better hotels, better practice times, et cetera. But yeah, I'm sure that is good. All of those things are going to become bigger issues.
Well, at some point, aren't teams allowed to move hotels? Like if you survive in advance and you're at, you know, the hostel at the
so.
End of Disney.
Yeah, I think so. I think like if you pull it, well, let's say you're you know, one of the teams pulls an upset in the first round that I do think. And as teams start to, you know, leave, I think you could move, but maybe not now that I'm thinking about it, because that's what after the first round is when friends and family can come. If friends and family are coming, like, I think they're probably going to want to stay in the same hotels, which means, you know, those rooms are going to be accounted for.
Like if this were like, there's a way you could put this together, Ramona, where like somehow in the analysis you could use the ability to move up in hotel as an incentive for like the underdog to really
yeah.
come through, and except yeah. the alternative is you get to go home. So
yeah.
it's like
true.
Staying in a better hotel versus I just get to leave. That's not gonna do it. I think for the time being, the hotel incentive doesn't really play that well. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only to pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So, Ramona, literally just this moment, like a moment ago, I got in my inbox the credential application for the Dodgers this year.
Oh,
what do I do with that? Like if I like, what do I do as a credentialed member of the media going to a Dodger game this year?
You like, know, there are media
I'm not gonna be able to talk to
going
anybody.
To their games. No, you can still sit in the press box, or I don't know if it's press box or if they're just moving everyone throughout the stadium so that you're socially distant, but there are media people there now. It's less restrictive in baseball than it is in basketball, where like there's only 10 reporters who have been allowed into the Orlando bubble. In baseball, they have more reporters that they're allowed in, but like think they have temperature checks every day, and you have to sign a waiver that says if you get COVID and die, you're not going to sue them, right? Like, yeah, I think you have to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, you could apply for it. You can go watch those games where there's no fans.
Can I just then they could like pan the camera onto me just sitting in like the
yeah.
right field stands by myself,
as compared to the cardboard cutouts that they're supposedly buying. Yeah.
What if I brought like a bunch of them? What if I brought a Bergman?
No, unless he has a credential, he can't go either. So it's just like
no. If I brought a Bergman cutout.
Oh, a Bergman cutout. They might like that because I think they do want to have cutouts behind. They want to have cutouts in the stands, right? They've learned that looks way better on TV and actually helps like the fielders when they're trying to see the ball up against the background of the stands.
Greg, if you provide me with a cutout of you, I will bring it with me when I go to the game.
I mean, I would be all for that, but they're charging a decent amount of money to put those cardboard cutouts out. I don't think they're going to want you bringing just a random one in.
So, BYOC.
It would work well for how I work in general. finding ways to get into things for free, but I don't think this is the right one.
This is my plus one. How much would it cost to populate an entire section with just you?
Oh, the whole section?
I think it's...
It's like, they're like $200 quite a piece. $200-$300 $300. $300, yeah. $300 a piece.
Okay, so how many seats are in a section? Because if you were super rich, I think that would be kind of fun. And you could do it either all one picture of you, like one kind of cutout, which would be like creepy and weird because it's just this one section of all the same face over and over again. You look like a robot army. Or you could do it with like you in all kinds of different expressions. I mean, if I had like $15,000 to kill, where, you know, as some guy, you know, like, you know, if I'm Steve Ballmer and it just none of these things matter, I'm buying two or three sections of me and you just call it Ballmerville. And
yeah, that's cool.
I would do that.
Yeah, if you want, if that's meaningful.
Ramona's like, that doesn't seem like a great way to spend your money.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of other things that I would do other than that. But yeah, like, I think in baseball, this is one of there is a function for having those cutouts. Like, it's, I remember we used to play up at University of Washington, and the softball stadium is like right next to the football stadium. And like, when I'm being in the outfield and you'd see a ball that was hit towards you, if you were in right field, it was like the background that you saw was the empty football stadium. And it was so hard to judge the ball against the empty seats behind you. And so like, if there were people there, you could see a little bit better. I mean, it gives you some level of contrast in order to see the ball. This sounds like I'm making this up, but it's true. Like, if you're in the outfield, like, it really does help to have some contrast.
Oh yeah, no, that's empty seats. That's not weird. I mean,
so you're helping the Dodgers by buying those cutouts. Yeah,
I'm buying a bunch of Bergmans.
There you go.
I like the idea of having different faces and different expressions. I think that if you're gonna do it,
well,
I want to be doing totally different things.
Okay, so we can have just somebody do a photo shoot with you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Model it up.
This sounds like what GoFundMe was invented for.
It would be very funny. It's for the
877710 ESPN. Would you contribute to the Greg Bergman cardboard cutout? GoFundMe so we can get Bergman into the stadium this year. You guys watched the game last night, right? Or how much of it did you see? Greg, I know you were watching.
I watched a decent amount of it. I just, you know, was doing some other stuff. But I like the pumped in crowd noise. I'm sorry. I think that it really adds to the game. Give me Joe and Oral on the broadcast, and I feel like I'm watching a regular game. I don't need to see the fans. It's not like Vin Scully back in the day when he'd be like, "And look at that little baby there. There's your new Dodger fan for life," which I loved. But yeah, you know, I mean, you don't need to see the fans anymore.
And look at that entire section of Greg Bergman just sitting there enjoying the game. They look so happy to be there. Thanks for coming, Greg. But I thought they had a really nice touch with the crowd noise. Like, they didn't go overboard. It wasn't like the first year at Rams games with Jeff Fisher and the Rams would score like a late touchdown and Sam Lagana, bless his heart, would stand up and be like, "Rise! It's now Rams 7, you know, Seattle 28, you know, rise!" It's like, okay, calm down here a little bit. It just made it sound like a baseball game. Like, in the background, baseball has that kind of hum of 25, 30,000, 40,000 people where it's white noise and you know the game is on even when you're not looking up at it. I liked it. It sounded like baseball. It felt like baseball. And I was kind of cool with it. I liked the presentation.
You're talking about the Dodgers, like, inner squad scrimmage?
Yeah, the inner squad game last night.
Okay. I did not watch that. Did not even know that that was happening.
That's why I kind of figured that, which is why I
was like, "What game are we talking about?" I didn't know we had live sports.
You're not silent about much, and so when you didn't react at all to the last question, I said to myself, "I'm just going to make sure we're asking Greg because I know Greg was watching."
Well, it's interesting because this is where my boy Chico is having. Did they let him hit? Is that's the big story that everybody's wanting?
Did Chico hit? I saw him catch another baseball.
No,
people make a
not.
Really big deal out of Chico catching baseballs. So I'm starting to get tired of it, to be honest with you.
No, but they're not. sorry, they're not going to allow him to hit, because at this point in the season and the preseason, it doesn't help a pitcher in any sense to throw a ball to Chico. So they want to be facing live major league pitchers.
Well, what's, you know, them playing, his story is so fun. And like, Brian, this goes way back to our very early ESPN LA days, where he actually tried out. He went to an open tryout for the Dodgers a million years ago. And Becky Hudson, who was our baseball editor at the time, sent me to go do a story on this guy. And it was like, you know, he was like a fresh out of high school. Like, I think he went to Hollywood High and was kind of he's a clubby, you know, so mostly they sit on the side where you catch the foul balls before they go into the stands and throw them back. But they also warm up, and somebody noticed he had a really good arm. I think it was John Garland, and said, "Hey, you know, you should go to the tryout, man. You're a pretty good player. You can play." And so he set him up with a tryout for the Dodgers. Like, and he actually made it through a couple of rounds of it. But before they, you know, he didn't make it all the way to the minors or sign a contract or anything, but he's been with the team for like 10, 12 years by this point.
And
now they have him out there playing in their scrimmages all the time. And he threw Chris Taylor out at second the other day. I think he's only 30. So he's still, you know,
right, but
capable
of
playing.
Look, 2020, man. I mean, I love a good uplifting story, but I also feel like we need to, like, all of the things you're saying kind of reinforce my point, Ramona, which is the guy knows how to play baseball. So when he catches the ball in the outfield, we shouldn't talk about it like he's, you know, like if you put Daniel out in the outfield and he managed to catch a ball and throw Chris Taylor out, that's impressive. He's a baby.
Yeah, that would be.
Like, that's a baby doing that. Chico has played baseball his entire adult life. It's like he caught a fly ball. Most people could do that if they play baseball.
He caught a fly ball, but then he gunned Chris Taylor out a second. I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying it's good, but like, Greg, you were listening last night. How many times did they mention Chico? He wasn't even in the game, and they mentioned him like every 8 seconds.
There's a lot of Chico talk. Right. But I mean, like, look at who he is. It's a good story. It's fun. It's people are loving Chico right now, and we're in inter-squad games. I mean, there's really only so much to talk about. It's just a fun story.
I just feel like, with it. You know how Ramona,
why are you so cynical, Brian?
I mean, 2020. But you know how Ramona does that to a person. You know how Ramona got very angry with me yesterday because she thinks I made Booty Day jump the shark?
Yeah.
I tried too hard, and now Booty Day is ruined for everyone. I feel like the Dodgers are kind of doing that with Chico.
Oh,
You got to back off the pedal a little bit. You can't go 85, 90, 100 miles on Chico the entire time. You got to go drop a little Chico here, a little Chico there.
That's right. It's got
to
feel special.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't hit with Chico with the soft bigotry of low expectations. He's a baseball player. He can catch a routine fly ball.
Yeah.
I could probably still do that, and I haven't picked up a glove in a decade.
I don't think you could. I mean,
catch a fly ball?
Sure. You could catch it if it was hit like right at you, but if you were in,
I can't throw out Chris. I can't throw
game,
out.
Yeah,
I can't throw out Chris Taylor anymore. But
no,
I'm just saying,
like, an actual inter squad game with major leaguers would be a whole different experience.
Well, I'd be nervous. Like, I'd be very nervous.
Yeah,
I'd play deep. We'd I would not want to have to back up on a ball. That part's true.
Yeah,
Ramona. Next, I want to ask you a question. Somebody on Reddit put out a really interesting strategic option for teams trying to get stars put back into quarantine. I'll tell you what that is next. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Doc Rivers was joking the other day about the snitch line and how he's called in snitches on like James Harden and LeBron James and all the things that those guys are doing wrong. And like we kind of were joking about the snitch line yesterday, Ramona, and Dwight Howard says he was tattled on about not wearing a mask. Somebody called the snitch line and tattled on that. Granted, Dwight was also put himself up on Instagram at that NBA pool party where he was the only one who went.
Yes.
He put himself up on Instagram without a mask on. So, like, it's hard to complain, I think, if you're him at that point. What level of shenanigans do you expect on the snitch line? Like people just calling in and either trying to get guys in trouble or just making stuff up or whatever it might be?
I don't really think it's going to be that big a deal once we really get rolling. Just, it's almost like a karma thing, you know? I mean, if somebody's doing something really dangerous or really stupid, like they, you know, they're bringing somebody into the bubble that shouldn't be there, or, you know, coughing all over everyone just to be silly. I mean, yeah, that gets called in. But, like, I'm kind of even surprised somebody snitched on Dwight for not wearing a mask. Like, you could just say that to him. You could just be like, hey, like, man.
Dwight, put your mask back on.
Yeah. You know, like, you could kind of just say that. It's almost like a karma thing. Like, you don't want to tell on others because you don't want them to tell on you. I mean, Nevin tends to be this kind of person who, like, he's like hyper aware of everything going on. Like he always wants to know what my schedule is and what I'm doing that day, et cetera. And it kind of drives me a little batty sometimes. Like I'm like, I don't know what my day is. I just kind of go through things and I don't know that I tell you everything that happens. Right. It does feel weird when you feel like somebody's watching you all the time, when somebody's surveilling you and judging every little thing you're doing, right? So, like, I just don't think that was one thing the NBA players like really wanted to avoid.
Is this a cry for help, Ramona?
No, it's okay. He and I talk about it. I understand. Okay? I know it shows that he cares, you know. Right. And I just had to tell. I was like, you know, I was like, oh, did I tell you about that? And he's like, no, you didn't tell me anything. And I was like, I do a lot of things all the time.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me stick up for Nevin here. Yeah. Because I know, like, most women, if they turned around and their husband had 14 cell phones, they'd be suspicious. Yeah. They'd be a little concerned about something. So Nevin probably looks at it and she's, you know, she's got 18 different communication devices. Some of those have got to be burners. Some of those have got to be, you know, she's up to no good. You can't blame
the guy. Well, I don't even think it's that. I think it's more like, I don't think, it's not a lack of trust. It's more like he feels better when he knows where I am and what I'm doing all the time. Like he wants to know exactly. Well, back in the days when we used to leave the house and go places and work outside.
Yeah, now it's just
bubble.
Like I'm going to the living room, Nevin. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Where are that's
you?
My day.
Like he used to want to know, like, you know, where I was all the time. Do you have any appointments, Jerry? What show are you on? What game are you going to? Blah 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 blah. And I was like, I mean, do you really need to know everything that I'm doing that day? Or like, you know, do you need to know if I was on with George or with Mason in Ireland that day? You know, I mean, I appreciate that you care, but it does get a little like, I mean, do you want to just see a copy of my calendar? Cause like, I don't even write things in my calendar cause it's not going to help. But, so I think there is a quality of like, nobody wants that feeling of like somebody watching them at all times, nobody or judging them at all times. Like you don't want that snitch line, that feeling of like the, you know, somebody's in your room looking at you, you know, I mean, or somebody's following you around.
As Ramona calls it, the Nevin line. Yeah. It's time for Straight Talk.
I know
brought
that
to you
it
by Straight Talk
cares,
Wireless.
But...
Right. So here's some Straight Talk. So somebody on Reddit brought this up.
Okay.
And tell me, like, this is actually kind of next level. What happens if LeBron is thrown outside the bubble by an opponent? For example, if the Bucks and Lakers are playing in the finals, what happens if the Lopez brothers break into LeBron's room, pick him up, and carry him to the edge of the bubble, and then throw him out? Would he have to quarantine in the finals? Would the Bucks be penalized for this, even though the Lopez twins didn't go outside of the bubble? Now, a couple of problems with this. You wouldn't use the Lopez brothers. You use the 14 through 17 guys on the Bucks roster, or the Clippers would do it with like Terrence Mann and a bunch of other people. Like you wouldn't sacrifice really good players, but what happens if that happened? Like if LeBron is out of the bubble, even if it's not his fault, if he's thrown out of the bubble by ne'er-do-wells, does he still have to quarantine? Like, what are the rules about that?
Okay, none of this is going to happen.
Whoever
on Reddit is doing that.
To move.
Like, people are just not going to do that. It's like, I know it's like funny to joke about it, but like, I don't know. I don't see any of that as being a problem. I think the bigger problem is really going to be like, it's just really going to be accidental stuff, like stuff, you know, kind of what happened to Bruno Caboclo and, you know, and Rashawn Holmes, who, by the way, have you seen Rashawn Holmes, like, on Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is? Like, he's, like, going slowly crazy. Like, there was a video of him the other day just, like, screaming in his room because he's stuck in his room for 10 days. Yeah, I think there's going to be more of that kind of thing. I know we all can project out, like, terrible scenarios that could happen with the snitch line, et cetera. But, like, I don't believe people in the NBA would really do that. It's more of a fun joke to play. But, I don't think it's, you have to admit, though,
the scenario in which an NBA star gets stuffed into a sack and thrown 15 feet over the border, driven back over the border.
Yeah, sure.
Like from Federales or something like that. That's kind of a fun scenario to kick around. The hypothetical, like, nothing is going to happen isn't nearly as fun as the hypotheticals that we're playing around with on Reddit. Like, yeah. We've still got, like, 14 days before the games begin, Ramona. We have to fill them with something.
Well, I think that it's kind of like tampering. Tampering is rampant. You know it happens. Everybody does it. It's like you're not trying if you're not tampering, like, if you're to some extent. And then every once in a while, there will be something that's so egregious, somebody tries to bust you. Every once in a while, Magic Johnson goes on Jimmy Kimmel and, you know, does that knowing wink and sort of flaunts it. Like, so then, you know, they get busted for tampering because Magic made a big show of it, et cetera, and they have to go looking for something. But people don't generally turn themselves in or anybody else in for tampering because they don't want it to happen to them. Like, there's a karmic sort of understanding, like, I won't turn you in if you won't turn me in. And, generally speaking, I think that's what's going to happen with this, you know, the situation in the bubbles. Like, everybody's subjected to this. Unless somebody is, you know, really doing something unsafe, I don't think anybody's going to mess with it. I think it's a joke.
Yeah, the other really interesting part about it is what happens when they actually start playing games. Like, right now it's summer camp. But when you start playing games, like, it's abnormal to be in tight quarters with the teams that you're playing against. You mentioned that they're in the same hotels as they are, you know, with each other. That dynamic is going to be crazy. And we'll talk about that next. Jeff Passan coming up in about 15 minutes talking about baseball, which seems to be kind of slowly inching towards a restart. So we'll get to all that. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jeff Passan coming up in about 13 minutes. Yesterday, Brian Kamenetsky and Momo filling in for Sedano. It's Laura Romo's birthday yesterday, and we were talking in the break. She's like, "Oh, I don't make a deal out of my birthday anymore, and it's not a big thing, and it doesn't matter." I decided this actually. This was pre-pandemic. Everyone should make a big deal out of their birthday. Like, we have to get over the whole it's just a day. It doesn't matter. I'm just getting older. No, everybody should make a big deal out of their birthday, because for at least one day out of the year, it's important to celebrate yourself, and it's important to celebrate have other people celebrate you and do all that stuff, because as we've seen, guys, stuff can get bad. And, you know, you like figuring out how to stay on the planet for another year and doing all that and getting that done is in itself an accomplishment, and you shouldn't blow off birthdays. So, Laura, don't do that next year. You get out there and you make it fun. Don't be all accepting because your family likes chocolate cake, even though you hate chocolate cake, and they brought home a chocolate cake so they could all be happy, and you probably didn't eat any of it because you didn't like it, and you couldn't have your own birthday cake and all that stuff. Take a stand. Make them go get some vanilla cake or a lemon cake or whatever it is you like, and enjoy your birthday. You earned it.
I like how you just put my whole family on blast on radio.
You totally did. You totally did.
I'm taking everyone down with me. I'm taking Nevin down.
You are.
Nevin, who's just let Ramona be. She's fine.
Well, it's funny because, like, I have my birthday on Sunday, Laura, and my mom was like, "What do you want to do for your birthday?" And I was like, "I mean, what can we do?" You know, we could go to the beach. Oh, wait, those are closed again, right? I think those are closed.
I think so. I'm not quite sure.
Wait, what? Beaches are closed?
Weren't they closed?
They were closed for the holiday weekend.
For the holiday. For no, July 4th. They're open still.
Okay. I guess they I could to go open. To the beach. That would be something. But then it feels like it's a Sunday. There's probably going to be a lot of people there. I don't like to put myself in those situations. Let's just stay home. We'll go jump in the pool like I do.
Mama loves it.
My mom.
Let's go get drunk. I was like, let's go get drunk. Girls' day. Let's go get drunk.
Girl, yeah. I mean, then I would have to deal with a hangover. And like, I have a baby now. And I just like don't want to deal with a hangover. And last year. Last year was my 40th birthday. Oh, ooh. My God. I am too old to drink like I did. Wow. I went to the Queen concert, and let's just say I barely remember the Uber ride home. That was something. Like I my friends and I went to the Queen concert at the Forum. We ordered an Uber on the way home. I briefly remember staggering in and like falling into bed, but like the whole next day I was like, "Oh no. This is not a part of my life again anymore."
No,
I don't know how it's like I have no tolerance for this anymore, right?
Well, you know what it is? It's like you go and it's like certain forms of exercise that you haven't done in a little while.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was an athlete. I used to be able to do this. And you're doing it, it's not so bad. Then you wake up the next day and you go, that's why I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. If you drink like that, you need to, because, you know, it's your 40th birthday. So your friends make you drink the whole time. I take no responsibility for myself at that, of course. I think I had been not drinking a lot too because I was like breastfeeding, and you know, I think I was either just quitting or that was the last straw, and then I stopped pumping and feeding him that way. I mean, it was like there was no tolerance there. So by the end of the night and especially the next morning, we were like, nope, this is never going to work again. Ugh.
So go back up a little bit though, because I've heard, you know, obviously Queen now doesn't include Freddie Mercury, but I've heard the guy who does the Freddie Mercury
Adam Lambert.
Role is awesome.
Adam Lambert from American Idol. Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay,
I mean, I would just go to his concert. Yeah, he does it. Part of what he performed a Queen song on the show, and it was so good that I think everyone in the band and everyone who's seen him says, you know what, this is our guy. Like when Queen tours now, it's our guy. And it was funny because Brian May, who's I think the guitarist in Queen,
that is correct.
It's his birthday. He has the same birthday as me. So because it was July 19th and it was Brian May's birthday, like they did like a whole happy birthday song. So I just pretend that they were singing about me. I just, you know, so
they didn't
that
mention
cool.
you. They didn't name drop Momo.
No, there was there was no name drop, no mention. But I knew what they were doing. I knew it was for me. So it was
Brian May gave like a little wink in your direction.
Yeah.
All I know is my birthday's in September. I frequently forget how old I am because it just doesn't matter anymore, and I've always kind of lost track.
Yeah.
When you lose your hair when you're like 17, I've basically looked the same since I was 28, 27, 28. Once I figured out, just go ahead and shave it all off. Age becomes kind of like a flat circle. All I know is we're getting out there. I'm taking 15, 16, 17 of those Bergman cutouts we're all buying, and we're going out. We're going to get like a party bus and we're going to have a good time. And that's, you know, where should I take the Bergmans, Greg?
I don't know. I mean, I just think that you and a bunch of Bergman cutouts really says a lot about you as a person, what you want to do for your birthday.
Now that I'm very into this idea of having like 15, 20, 30 and just taking pictures with them around the city, like Flat Stanley. If anybody has a kid, they know who Flat Stanley is. It's me and Flat Bergman. We're just going to go around the city doing stuff.
Well, then I'd like to go to the Hollywood sign. We can go to like outside Dodger Stadium, some Staples Center, walk from the stairs. Let's go to the stairs.
Oh, Flat Bergman on IG. Absolutely.
Yes.
I actually think this is like, can we get the salespeople? I actually think we could sell this. This is not a terrible idea. Like Flat,
I mean,
we can't go anywhere. So like we all have to socially distance. So Flat Blank, you know, Flat Travis, you know,
Flat Mason,
Sliwa, Flat Mason,
Flat Momo. Would you do it?
There is actually a couple years ago when the Cavs were in the playoffs, you know, like one of Dan Gilbert's companies is the Fathead company, the one that makes those cardboard cutouts. So during the playoffs a couple years ago, they started printing up Fatheads of media members. And I like, apparently they did one of me, and I don't know where they got this screenshot. It was not a flattering photo, but Tim Bontemps, who is a buddy of ours, he like, and Brian Windhorst like commandeered one of the Momo Fatheads and like took pictures with it and sent me pictures with it. And I was like, where did you get that? And they said that apparently it was in some bakery in Cleveland, a bakery or pizza place or something like that in Cleveland, like some fan had it and had like taken it to their restaurant, and it was just like in the restaurant. And I was like, somebody took the Fathead of me back to their place of business and just like had it there. I don't know what that means. Super weird.
Well,
it's a little bit creepy.
You shouldn't, yep, like, they're if they're taking it to a place of business, then you should get an endorsement for that, and you should get paid.
That was not my first thought. My first thought was like, ooh, super scary. I mean, we get weird, you know, Instagram people, you know,
that's true.
Sometimes.
So I put this out. I put this out on Twitter, Ramona. Where is the first place you would take Flat Bergman? Hashtag Flat Bergman. Two things I want. I want good responses to that question, and I want Flat Bergman to go viral. I want the hashtag to catch on. And I got a text from Cates. He said just two words, on it.
I think you're going to get a lot more people on Twitter saying things like wood chipper. And so it may not go as way as where you want it to go. People still hate me for Fast Track. I don't think you realize this.
Well, I mean, train tracks. There are a lot of places.
I think they're always going to hate you,
Bergman.
Yes.
Yeah. Where would you take Flat Passon? We can ask that next to Jeff Passon, covers baseball for ESPN. We'll talk to him next. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers and pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Quickly, before we get to Jeff Passon here joining us in a second, a few people are liking the tweet. Where is the first place you would take Flat Bergman? Don't like the tweet. Answer the freaking question. Hearts don't help us here. You have to actually answer the question. So again, where are you going to take Flat Bergman? We're going to make Flat Bergman happen. Is Jeff there? Yeah, Passon is busy. Okay, good. Okay, so we'll just keep talking about Flat Bergman. You're
well,
right. He's probably.
Are you
busy
guys
too.
Aware that there is like real baseball happening? And what is it? 10
I know.
Days now?
I watched it last night. It felt good. And Julio Urias looked fantastic. I thought, I mean, his stuff looked filthy, I thought, Greg.
Yeah, Julio Urias has looked really good. A lot of these pitchers have. I think Alex Wood was in there, too. This was the best that he looked. But Julio, it's the best he's looked, I think is the right way to put that.
Urias, right. But like, we'll get to Wood here in a second because, you know, you want to talk about the fun stuff first. But, like, this is the first year that the Dodgers have put him in the rotation, and like, he's not 19 anymore. He's not like, he's just starting to get old enough where you look at it and go, okay, you got to kind of get something out of him. He's had the injuries, he's had some different things, and obviously a global pandemic doesn't help. But like, we're at a stretch now where he needs to go from young pitcher with like phenom potential to actual productive member of a starting staff. And if he did what he did last night, that's going to happen.
Yeah, he's a guy that what's good for him is that last year he was told, you're going to be in the starting lineup next year. You are going to be a starter. So he had all offseason to really figure all that stuff out and get himself set up and ready for it. And now he's proving why they were telling him that. The front office always believed in this guy. They always saw the stuff that he had and everything that he was going to be able to. And he's proving it right now. And that's a very good sign, especially for the Dodgers with no David Price.
Yeah, the way he was missing bats last night, it was impressive. You mentioned Alex Wood. I kind of, like, when I was sitting there and I was watching, I was like, oh, wow, Wood looks really good. Because when he misses bats, they like guys look fooled like they've never been fooled before. But the flip side is, then you kind of look up and he's given up a double to a guy wearing a number in the 70s. And then he gave up like another run to a bunch of guys wearing numbers in the 70s. And it, over a couple innings, he's given up, three, four hits and a couple runs. And most of the guys doing the damage were not guys that were going to be in the regular lineup for the Dodgers. So that made me a little worried.
Hey, Brian, that's Jeff Passan's there.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Okay, hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, Jeff?
Sorry, Jeff, didn't mean to keep you on hold. I didn't know you were there.
It's quite all right.
I was trying to kill time.
Over games that don't matter is totally logical.
Well, we're right.
I'm sorry.
Brian was watching the Dodgers, whatever we're calling this preseason game last night.
Making a radio show is actually a really, like, not easy thing to do. So I totally understand. Here's my great takeaway from not just what we've been seeing over the last, week or so when there have been exhibitions played, but pretty much every baseball game this season. Like, you're not going to be able to take away much at all from this entire season. I'm not going to call it, like, a farcical season because 60 games is 60 games. That's still a sample size. But, like, grand pronouncements that you can make, I just don't think are going to come out of the 2020 season. And if you guys ever see me making a grand pronouncement, please call me out on my hypocrisy and say, Passan, remember that time you told Momo and Brian that you shouldn't be making grand pronouncements? Don't.
I mean, Jeff, you know what gets me about this is we have 60 games, but it's such a short training camp or summer camp or whatever we're calling this now. Like, yep. Are pitchers going to go more than four innings? Like, are we going to have the spring training style, this pitcher made the start and came out after one time through the lineups? I mean, are we going to spend the first 20 games doing that?
I'll tell you what's going to be really interesting. There's going to be a little bit of implied work ethic here. And what I mean by that is I think there are going to be guys who can pitch six or seven innings the first game of the season. Guys who are going to be tuned up to get to 90 or 100 pitches. And I think those are going to be the guys who worked their asses off over the last couple of months and were diligent in throwing bullpens and were diligent in throwing simulated games and really put the effort in thinking that there was going to be a season and that there was going to be some time to perform. So if you see a guy who goes out there, I'm not saying the ones who don't necessarily weren't working quite as hard, but if you see a guy out there early on who's putting up innings and putting up a lot of pitches, you know that he was putting in the effort during the downtime. And I think all of us, that was a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to get motivated when you see what's going on around the country and the idea that you're going to be focusing on yourself and on your work when there are people who are suffering and when, injustice is being brought to light and the world is changing around us. Like, that's a hard thing. So to see the players who have done that, I got respect for their ability to be as myopic as they can be.
I'm talking to Jeff Passan, covers baseball for, we are, I know that now. We are talking to Jeff Passan, covers baseball for ESPN, I have been told. I disagree though, Jeff, there's nothing happening in the world that's more important as to whether or not Alex Wood is getting people out in intra-squad games. So let's be careful about what we're putting out.
Can I be honest, like, one of the big reasons that I wanted baseball to come back this year, aside from, like, my livelihood and aside from the fact that I'm fairly convinced if there were no baseball season, my wife probably would have kicked me out of the house at some point, is to see Mookie Betts play in a Dodgers uniform. Because I feel like to Dodgers fans, that was going to be the most unfair, cruel turn of events And maybe even if the season isn't finished and they don't get to see him playing in October, that would be unfair and cruel in and of itself from a sporting perspective. But the idea that Mookie Betts is going to be patrolling right field for the Dodgers on opening day a week from today, I believe, right? Yeah, week from today.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn cool, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I have to admit, when I saw him fly out to deep left yesterday, and I was like, that's cool. I like that. But like the point you made before about guys who have been working and guys who haven't been, or maybe just working a little less hard or slacked off a little bit, whatever it might be, and then you factor in the time that some guys have been in summer camp, some have been there a little longer, some were delayed getting in and out or whatever, all of these things, when you throw it into the pot and try to figure out what exactly is going to happen over these 60 games, how much do factors like that? Like, we don't know who actually has put in the work, so what they are on paper may not be what they are in the field. Like, how long is it going to take to sort all that out?
We won't. I mean, we don't know who has put in the work, and typically that is the domain of scouts. Because scouts can see changes in body, changes in swing, stuff like that. Scouts are not allowed at baseball games this year. MLB is also implementing a new system called Hawkeye instead of the TrackMan system that they've had in the past. And so the data, because it's the first year using it, the data that's going to be scraped from games may be spotty, may have some issues. So all of these both subjective and objective measurements that we normally have to judge baseball players are not going to be either there or, in all likelihood, as accurate as they have been in the past in some regards. And when you look at that, it's going to be a freaking free-for-all. Like, already, to me, the teams that are going to make the playoffs in 2020 are not necessarily the most talented teams or the teams best suited for short schedules. They're the teams that are going to stay healthy. They're the teams that are going to get, this sounds silly to say, they're the teams that are going to get testing results back quickly.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's the way somebody explained it to me earlier this week. You take your test at, let's say, 2 o'clock on a Monday. If the results are not back by 2 o'clock on Tuesday, you start to have some questions. If the results are not back until late Tuesday, do you hold the players out for the game on Tuesday because you don't, you know, you haven't gotten that 24-hour turnaround? Like, I don't know how this is going to work in practice. In theory, it's been wonderful. In practice, boy, like that's going to be a tough thing to do. And it makes me laugh. I think I saw something on Twitter a little while ago about minimum protocols for the Power Five conferences in football or in college sports this year being once a week testing. Are you freaking kidding me? Once a week?
Yeah. What's the point?
I understand that among college-aged athletic kids, the likelihood of there being problems that go beyond, you know, hey, I have a fever, hey, I have a cough, hey, being real problems, hospitalization, God forbid, death, are very small based on the data that we have at this point. And yet that's the same case with Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL, and the same issues that are cropping up in those leagues, which is coaches, training staff, strength coaches, support staff, all the other people around them are going to be just as present in college athletics, and they're going to have a fraction of the testing and think that's going to work. Sports sometimes feels like a house of cards, and every day that we have with the idea that this might actually work, we should be thankful for it, because there's a point at which you wonder if the whole thing just collapses and what happens when that happens.
So, Jeff, I thought you were going to be the pick-me-up guy, you know, where you were used to Buster Olney going on about this is the first bands of the hurricane Buster's coming ashore.
Buster is definitely Debbie Downerer than I am. I think we're going to start the season. I think if the season starts, there's actually a pretty fairly reasonable chance that it's going to finish.
There we go.
Here's the thing. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I think that will be something that will be born out of great stubbornness in cases. But I think that there is such incentive at this point to, if we start it, damn right we're going to finish it, that they're going to be trying awfully hard in that regard.
May come out of this, though, okay, this is something I would almost say I could make a scientific argument for why we should do this. But with all the umpires who've withdrawn from the season or saying too dangerous for me, not going to do it, this is a perfect reason to try the robot umps, right? One, it eliminates the one position on the field where you cannot socially distance. Like the home plate umpire cannot socially distance from the batter or the catcher. That's the one area of danger. And plus, we've been wanting to try this out. Like, is there, like, I don't know if that's a real thing now or if it's how close it is to being talked about, but could you make that argument? Do you think there's any chance this is how we do it?
Two flaws in your plan. Flaw number one.
Dang.
There's a play at the plate. Is the catcher going to call the runner out?
True.
Say, I tagged him.
Honor system, Jeff. It's the honor system. Yeah,
exactly.
We roll with
As we know in baseball, that worked really well. Bang, 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 bang. you know, we've also got the fact that in a year, Ramona, that is going to be so screwed up already. Do you really want to be debuting? Let's put it this way. If there had been plans in place and they had been rolling this out really early on, I could definitely see an argument for trying to institute the automated balls and strike system this year. At this point, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, it just, plus, it needs to be better.
Plus, it looks like an awkward time to be seeming like you're laying people off. It's not a good time for that. Sorry, home plate umpire. We're downsizing.
I mean, baseball's done some of that, though. Like that, you know, it has not been immune. And that actually has a lot to do with the fact that baseball wants to continue to play a season and doesn't want to stop.
Oh, sure.
I think there's some concern. If you don't have revenue, then we're going to be cutting employees. I mean, I think there are already going to be some pretty significant layoffs in some places. I hope they don't resemble what happened with the baseball operations staff with the Angels. That was a mess, and I imagine it's going to continue to be a mess, but there is definitely going to be change in baseball.
Ugh. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Buster-ish. But not, you didn't go full Buster there, but it was a little sad.
The first bands of the hurricane coming ashore.
There's a reason they call Buster the Brian Windhorse of baseball. Jeff Passan, ESPN baseball analyst. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
What does that make me? If Buster's the Brian Windhorse of baseball, I am the...
You can be the Momo. I'm pretty sunny and
I can be the Momo. All right. Yeah. I'll take that.
God.
I'll be the Momo of baseball.
Typical Momo. Everybody would want to be me.
you put me in a very awkward position there.
Actually,
I will go on Sarah Spain's show all the time and insult her. So
there you go.
If I felt bad about the comparison there, I would have said no, I don't want to be, and I'm down with being the Momo.
Yeah. Jeff and I are friends. We talk in real life, you know, IRL, right? We talk IRL.
We do.
Yeah. Right.
I also am friends with Sarah and make fun of her too. But
That's how
guys,
it goes.
Laura is going to virtually stab me.
Oh.
If I don't end this segment.
Bye, guys.
Jeff.
Bye,
Thank
Jeff.
You very much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Well, if you wouldn't have wasted all that time vamping at the beginning, Brian.
I didn't know he was there. There's nothing in radio that's more awkward than that time where you can't really start a topic because you know somebody's coming, but you don't know when they're there. It didn't go well. I'm sorry.
I thought I helped you out there. I thought I came right in.
No, that was great. No, I needed that. Like, I didn't know. I had zero idea. All right. See, Laura's getting like, okay, less talk, more rap. Brian Kamenetsky, Momo in for Sedano, 710 ESPN.